Consciously scattering bits and pieces of our lives behind us in the moment is a byproduct of the digital age. But meticulously constructing our personal narratives for posterity, that's an ancient tradition. Journalist Ben Yagoda has just authored a book that traces the long and storied life of the memoir. It's called Memoir, A History. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Brooke. It's great to be here.
So can anything that we write about that happened to us be called a memoir? Because your book touches on everything from the Confessions of St. Augustine to Dishwasher, one man's quest to wash dishes in all 50 states.
Now, in this memoir boom that's lasted, 15 years or so, memoir is a brand. So sure, The Dishwasher, Julie Powell, a memoir of Julie and Julia. The way I look at it and the way I defined it for the book was a book-length endeavor that purported to tell the story of all or part of the author's life.
So let's start with the saint, the confession. You admire it very much.
Yes, it was a singular book of its kind. It came out in the 3rd century, and here was a man, St. Augustine, much as men and women do today, bearing his soul.
I wish now to review in memory my past wickedness and the carnal corruptions of my soul, not because I still love them, but that I may love thee, O my God. For love of thy love I do this, recalling in the bitterness of self-examination my wicked ways.
Do you think that St. Augustine embroidered things? You know, lied?
Well, the short answer is yes. The longer answer would discuss what the word lie means. He thought the memory was a perfect instrument or a perfectible instrument. All psychological research ever since has indicated that it is very far from that. So we distort as we remember. Today, when someone writes a memoir, the custom is that you put in pages and pages of dialogue that might have taken place 2 years ago or 40 years ago. That is fiction. I can't remember what I said to you 2.5 minutes ago, much less what my mother told me in an argument 30 years ago.
It's poetic verisimilitude.
It's poetic license, right. And not everything is permitted. We would agree to that. However, when someone picks up a memoir or a book labeled as such, the person expects there to be a certain level of truth, or else what's the point of it being a memoir to begin with? So what is that level? What's that acceptable level of truth? That question hasn't been answered. Maybe it can't be answered, but that's the key question.
The French philosopher Jean-Jacques Rousseau, you write that he believed that all memoirists, that is, up until Rousseau himself, were liars. And this is one guy's memoir in which you seem to entirely believe. He didn't sugarcoat, did he?
Well, he certainly didn't sugarcoat, and that's a little insider's hint to memoirists. If you want to be believed, make yourself look bad. That can cover a multitude of fabrications. He detailed his unseemly sexual habits. He made himself look like a small, petty person for making a servant girl take the rap for something he committed. Significantly, Rousseau read some portions of the book aloud while he was working on it and was met with shock and scandal.
Women who could be bought for money would lose, for me, all their charms. I even doubt whether it would be in me to make use of them. I only love those enjoyments which belong to no one but the first man who knows how to enjoy them.
In the end, the book was not published till after his death, probably fortunately for Rousseau.
You note that one of the most influential memoirs of all time, one that set the template for generations, was actually explicitly fiction. I will read the first sentence. I was born in the year 1632 in the city of York of a good family, though not of that country, my father being a foreigner, a Bremen, who settled first at Hull. He got a good estate by merchandise and leaving his trade, lived afterward at York, from whence he married my mother, whose relations were named Robinson, a very good family in that country, and from whom I was called Robinson Kreuznayer. But by the usual corruption of words in England, we now call ourselves and write our name Crusoe. And so my companions always called me.
Oh, I want to hear more. That is great. Daniel Defoe. Oh, boy, what a writer. Yeah, and Robinson Crusoe was in the form of an autobiography, totally made up out of whole cloth, though there was a real person that it was based on. But at this time, in the 1700s, there was no labels. There was no nonfiction bestseller list. There was no memoir section of the store. It just came out as a book. And people honestly didn't know what to make of it. Some people were fooled and then got really mad when they found out that it was fiction.
But how did he influence the creation of true chronicles?
Well, that's an amazing thing. I mean, he wrote a series of books, Moll Flanders, Robinson Crusoe, and several others that were novels in the form of autobiography. And the success of these novels actually influenced people to write real autobiographies.
You know, Ben, there's one thing that comes through loud and clear in this very entertaining book of yours. No matter what stabs you make at even-handedness here and there, you really don't think much of the memoir. When you like one, you usually say that it transcends the genre. Why okay. Can't it be seen as a brilliant expression of the genre?
Wow, I didn't realize that. I believe you. I feel agnostic as to the genre. I really do. I don't think I like it or dislike it. In fact, on balance, I would say I'm on the plus side just because, you know, I teach writing and you know the biggest cliche of writing instruction.
Write what you know?
Exactly. And it's a cliche because it's true. People who write about what they know tend to write stronger, more compelling, more readable prose. And that's what a memoirist does. It's subject to abuse, self-indulgence, going on and on too long, making stuff up. But in the right hands, those ones that, as you say, I praise, it's really a pretty spiffy genre.
What's your favorite memoir?
Russell Baker's Growing Up, which came out before the memoir boom and maybe as such did not focus on abuse, trauma, etc., but rather on the singularity of his experience and the pleasures of good writing and observation.
What's a memoir that you hate?
I would say Running with Scissors by Augustine Burroughs.
And why is that?
As we said earlier, dialogue in a memoir is something that's expected, and a certain amount of it is poetic license. But the more you do it, the more you're just throwing in the reader's face the fact that this really isn't true in the full sense of the word true. Furthermore, in his book, the attitude towards the people that he writes about is very disdainful, dismissive, filled with cheap shots. I just didn't like the whole approach of the book.
"You infantile tyrant," my mother shouted from her position on the sofa, legs folded up beneath her. "You'd like nothing more than to see me slit my wrists."
You didn't like him.
Right. You respond to that book and you're responding to that writer. And it's really one and the same thing. A memoirist really puts himself or herself out there. And I do find that admirable.
Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Ben Yagoda teaches journalism at the University of Delaware. His new book is Memoir, A History.
That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Jamie York, Mike Vuolo, Mark Phillips, Nazanin Rafsanjani, Michael Bernstein, and P.J. Vogt, with more help from James Hoffer, Dan Mazzi, and Julia Simon, and edited by Brooke. We had technical direction from Jennifer Munson and more engineering help from Zach Marsh.
Katya Rogers is our senior producer and John Keefe, our executive producer. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. This is On the Media from WNYC. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I am Brooke Gladstone as well.
I don't want your history.
All right, then. I'm Bob Garfield.
WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink. Drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at zbiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's zbiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.